May 1 to 7. As you plan your camping and hiking trips for the season, the Canada Safety Council wants you to be well-equipped to stay safe on the trails and in the wild. Learn more about how you can best plan for a safe outdoor excursion, including how to make smart choices about clothing, food, and hydration at CanadaSafetyCouncil.org. Something to chill. We got the slaps like Will Smith made it for me. Give a fucking finish. If I ain't next, I don't want your opinion. But if I do, baby, keep it the greatest. Reap in my bag, I can't be in my feelings. Don't say that you're different, just show them the difference. LMB up in the building. Something to chill. We got the slaps like Will Smith made it for me. Give a fucking finish. If I ain't next, I don't want your opinion. But if I do, baby, keep it the greatest. Reap in my bag, I can't be in my feelings. Don't say that you're different, just show them the difference. Take the good with the bad, light it up, then you pass. If it's sweet, make it last. Too fast, you gon' crash. I'd rather run up a bag than run up a tab. Can't help it, that's just who I am. Make sure mama know to stick to the plan. It's Mr. Chair, bitch, I'm the man. Grams of the grands. Ain't no clamping the champ. Play me too close, you get hit with the wimp. You know I'm lit like a lamp. I ain't say nothing, she love what I'm saying. She tryna hold back the water like damn. She gon' get fucked, she keep playing. She gon' get fucked, she keep playing. One after one, I just go in and crank em. ET is light at the tip of my finger. Beast mode, how I shake em and break em. I like to stay safe, but I like to stay dangerous. It could be better, but I ain't complaining, cause I'm about to change it. Got a stack of that paper, I'm keeping it player. It's time and impatience. Yeah. LMB up in the building. Something to chill. We got the slaps like Will Smith made it for me. Give a fucking finish. If I ain't asked, I don't want your opinion. But if I do, baby, keep it the greatest. Reap in my bag, I can't be in my feelings. Don't say that you're different, just show them the difference. LMB up in the building. Something to chill. We got the slaps like Will Smith made it for me. Give a fucking finish. If I ain't asked, I don't want your opinion. But if I do, baby, keep it the greatest. Reap in my bag, I can't be in my feelings. Don't say that you're different, just show them the difference. Shit while I sit in the whip, had to take a few licks, had to make a few licks, knew when shit was gonna crash, had to brace for the hit, knew that we was gonna make it, I pray for the win, thankful again, God sent some angels for him, holding my Maddie and blazing my split, clearly a reason he gave me this gift, and I'm using it, homes, I ain't playing for shit, I wasn't sure, but see, now I'm convinced. It was getting dark like some tents. Almost gave up like Lynn. But I knew I couldn't quit. See that fire inside me won't let me forget where we begin and where we need to end. Journey that took us from boys up to men. Break all the chains, lift up the end. See, I search until I found the gems. And a certain shit just on replay in my head. Cut away, it was said. They was, they said to chasing them legs. Boy, go chase you some bread. But the younger me was on a whole different mess. Already lined up some pussy instead. Looking back, though, still ain't got no regrets. Man, I'm guessing I just had to go through the steps. LMB up in the building, something to chill. We got the slaps like Will Smith made it for me. Give a fucking finish. If I ain't asked, I don't want your opinion. But if I do, baby, keep it the greatest. Reap in my bag, I can't be in my feelings. Don't say that you're different, just show them the difference. LMB up in the building, something to chill. We got the slaps like Will Smith made it for me. Give a fucking finish. If I ain't asked, I don't want your opinion. But if I do, baby, keep it the greatest. Reap in my bag, I can't be in my feelings. Don't say that you're different, just show them the difference.
Yo, 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 what the hell is going on today? You tuned into Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Listen, and if this is the first time you joined Off the Beam Path, you're in for a treat. Listen, we do this every Tuesday, 10 to 11. We are broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples. That includes the Musqueam people, the Squamish people, and the Tsleil-Waututh people. It's important. I feel like it's important to, it's always important to acknowledge, you know, just kind of the lands that we reside on, not only reside on, but, you know, we work on and live on, and, you know, kind of everything that we get comes from the land. And especially, listen, I stand with the students outside, the students all across North America, really also across the world who are standing with the people of Palestine. We talked about that, you know, a few weeks ago, but, you know, it's so crazy. I feel like, you know, once a year or once every few months, it seems that it has been increasing year over year, that there just seems to be something huge. And as we, you know, we talk about in the show, you know, kind of like our faith in institutions and how it has been waning over the past decade or so, even longer than that. I'm sure that there's people who, you know, have been feeling this way for a long, long time, including myself. And yeah, it's important to acknowledge it's kind of the land that we reside on, the land that UBC is on, the land that CITR is on. This is a radio station that is a community radio station. So without acknowledging the nations in which you inhabit, it rings a little hollow when talking about, you know, some of the protests and conflicts that are going on around the world. And so before we jump into kind of the show, I just wanted to make sure that they acknowledge it, because as I walked past the bus loop today and saw the students sitting outside and then also reading and listening to some of the things that are going on, particularly in New York and in college campuses all across the country, all across the United States, all across Canada, I'm guessing for sure as well. You see these, just the level of violence being implemented against the students. And for a country like the United States trying to acknowledge that they are on the right side of this Israeli-Palestine conflict, you can see that the force that they are using would indicate, at least to somebody like me, that they may again be on the wrong side. I don't think that there has been, I think that's one of the things that has been very difficult for people. Listen, we got a lot of stuff to get into for the show today. I got a lot of, I have so much new music. That was Misa Chad, with Up in the Building. I think that, you know, one of the amazing songs come out. I have so much music, but also so much news and also so many opinions, so much things that have happened in the past 2 weeks. But like I said, to, like, when you look at the conflicts in the past decade, or even I'd say since 2014, which I think is crazy. I think it's crazy to think about, because I feel, at least for myself, 2014 felt like a year where everything changed for me a little bit. And I say, hold on a second, looking something up. I'll say, like, you know, yeah, 2014, I wanted to make sure, because I feel like 10 years ago is a long time, and, you know, you kind of remember, forget the years, but I feel like 2014 was the year that everything changed for me, where everything felt like, I feel like it's easy to remember that sometimes these photo sharing apps that we think about, you know, that just have existed forever, are very, very new in the grand scheme of things. Like, I think, like, Instagram started in 2012. So when you think about, like, that was, for me at least, the first time where photos were shared in such an intentional way. I was talking about it with my friend, you know, Crimes and Treasons, Jules, over the weekend, just how pictures and the idea around a picture, the idea around what you shared, became so much more intentional in 2012. And so to think about for me, at least 2014, was Ferguson and Mike Brown. And that was like the first time where you were able to, at least for me, you know, it was so vivid in being able to see just kind of the violence that the state was able to inflict without shame in a way. And then you see that. And today I was watching some of the NYPD come down on the students at Columbia University in New York. And you just see not only just the lack of shame, but just the amount of police officers, the amount of weaponry they have, the amount of equipment they have, if you know, the tanks, and just kind of what is at the disposal when they are attacking rich kids. Because if you go to Columbia, chances are you're probably pretty rich. And so, like, this is what they're doing to rich kids at an elite Ivy League institution. You're black ass or whatever color you are. You got no shot. And so it is, I think, important to acknowledge. It's been 10 years since Mike Brown. And, you know, and in that, it feels like every year it's been something, another just kind of dashing of the trust and the dashing of what we believe to be righteous behavior by, you know, by our government. And what do we expect? Has we have started to expect less and less. At the same time, you know, the violence has increased and increased, and it is going to continue to increase. So I think that it's something that we should readily acknowledge and be paying attention to, because as they continue to, you know, implement cop cities around the world, like the Israeli military continues to train U.S. police officers, I think that that's an important thing to understand, is that the U.S. police force goes to Israel to learn how to train, and they have Israeli combatants to teach the police officers in the United States. And so the type of violence as we can continue to expect. And it feels as if, like, I mean, I don't say I'm in my cynicism bag, because, you know, that it's just kind of my natural, but I feel like there's so many things that we can learn and understand that it feels like sometimes things are changing, things are getting better, but also that these things do not happen on accident. And it's important that people keep their foot on the neck of authoritarianism and just the violence. And it is kind of scary, because we are, I acknowledge, like, it's very interesting, as I turned 35 this year, and you know, as I was 25 in 2014, when Mike Brown was killed by the police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, and they released reports about how, you know, about how policing was, how racist policing was, and this was during Barack Obama's presidency. You know, it's so hard to remember just kind of how long that was. You know, just kind of like they released reports and they talked about how bad it was, and it just that nothing seems to have gotten better since then. So it is important to just kind of acknowledge that this is the things that we've been dealing with. But also being, you know, from that age where something that I noticed as today, we have a few stories we're talking about some of the things I've seen on the bus today. But as I like acknowledge, I feel like myself has lost a lot of energy from there. And it feels, for me, I'm constantly thinking about that, and about that idea that I have, that I've lost energy or lost some steam or lost the optimism that things, you know, that things can get better and things can change. Because one, I mean, you have to believe that they can change. You have to believe that things will get better, or else they absolutely will not. And so it is one of those things where I think about, because the other side is constantly thinking that things can change, and they're implementing organizational changes so that their mission can continue to tighten and restrict. And I think that it's equally important for people like myself who have been watching this for 10 years and have participated in, you know, in different ways. And then also gotten very tired that you can't get tired. And I think that it's important because, like one of my favorite authors, Angela Davis, talked about freedom is a constant struggle. It's something that you're just going to have to, there's something that it is a constant and you can't get tired. So this is, I mean, I'm not sure if any of the students outside are listening, but you can't get tired and keep fighting. And I applaud the young people who are keeping it going because, yes, yeah, it's tough. Now, I want to get back into, so listen, I don't know where you were at today. However, for me and my friends, it was a very interesting day as Kendrick Lamar decided to drop a diss track on Drake. And being a Drake hater for like the past 10 years of my life, I think that today was a very vindicating day. And not just vindicating, I feel like that there is something brewing about this hate around Drake that has just been permeating through the air and has just been festering in people's hearts for years. And it is something so funny to me because I think that the hate, first we're going to play the song. We're going to play the song in just a few minutes, but the hate that Drake has been getting, I think has always been there, at least for myself. Like if you listen to Off the Beaten Path, you'll know that I'm not a hateful guy, but I do not like when people are enjoying simple pleasures in life. I don't know why. I don't think that some people deserve to enjoy things. But one of the things that I do enjoy is some Drake songs. You know, like I like some Drake songs. I think that it is absolutely valid to like some Drake songs and also think Drake is a cornball. And I find that when I used to say this out loud, people used to call me a hater, but not in a hater. Like, I feel like there's different kind of haters because I'm the kind of hater that I think I hate on things that deserve to be hated on. Like, if you listen to the show, you know that I am also pro-bullying, and not pro-bullying universally, but pro-bullying in a way that I believe in targeted bullying. Like, bullies need to be targeted, and if we bullied some people more and some people better, then our world would be a little bit better. And I think that there are some instances where Drake could have gotten bullied and we have let him slide. And I think that what we're seeing now is this backlash to the fact that people have let him slide and now people are ready to build out the big guns. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the diss track. I'm not even really going to say anything because I want you to just listen to it because it's titled Euphoria and it's by Kendrick. And Kendrick called it Euphoria because, one, that's the show that Drake executive produced, but also he has a reputation for hollering at women that might be a little too young for him. And if you watch that show, you know that something that comes up. Anyways, allegedly, here's a Drake diss.
Silence, the famous actor.
Ooh, shit, my man said
you're the Euphoria. Them superpowers get neutralized. I can only watch in silence. The famous actor we once knew is looking paranoid and now spiraling. You're moving just like a degenerate. Every antic is feeling distasteful. I calculate you're not as calculated. I can even predict your angles. Fabricating stories on the family front because you heard Mr. Morale. A pathetic master manipulator. I can smell the tails on you now. You're not a rap artist. You're a scam artist with the hopes of being accepted. Tommy Hilfiger stood out, but FUBU never father had been your collection. I make music that electrify him. You make music that pacify him. I can double down on that line, but spare you this time. That's random acts of kindness. Know you're a master manipulator and habitual liar too. But don't tell no lie about me, and I won't tell truths about you.
Shoo! 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 Shoo!
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, I'm out the way, yeah, I'm low, okay. Yeah, the island right here is remote, okay. I ain't thinking about no reaper. Nigga, I'm reaping what I sow, okay. Got a Benjamin and a Jackson all in my house, like I'm Joe, okay. Hellcat, met his homeboys in them types, LA solo, okay. Everybody wanna be demon till they get chipped by a throwaway. And I might do a show a day. What's a lame? Always a lame. Oh, you thought the money, the power of fame will make you go away. Have you ever played? Have you ever? Okay, nigga, let's play. Have you ever walked your enemy down like with a poker face? Have you ever paid 500,000 like to an open case? Well, I have, and I failed at both, but I came out straight. I hate when a rapper talk about guns, then somebody die, they turn into nuns, then hop online like pray for my city. He faking for likes and digital hugs. His daddy a killer, he wanna be junior. They must have forgot the shit that they done. Dementia must run in his family, but let it get shaky. I park his son. The very first time I shot me a Drake, the homie had told me to aim it this way. I didn't point down enough. Today I show you I learned from those mistakes. Somebody had told me that you got a ring. On God, I'm ready to double the wage. I'd rather do that than let a Canadian nigga make Pac turn in his grave. Cut the finish, you got shit twisted. What is it, the braids? I hurt your feelings, you don't work with me no more. Okay, there's three ghosts left, and I see two of them kissing and hugging on stage. I love them to death, and in 8 bars I'll explain their phrase. It's not nobody can tell me. I don't wanna talk on no celly. You know I got language barriers. It's no accent you can sell me. You're cold and ivory, no, I'm a selfish nigga. The crown is heavy. I pray they my real friends. If not, I'm YNW Melly. I don't like you popping shit at Pharrell. For him, I inherit the beef. Yeah, fuck all that pushing P. Let me see you push a T. You better off spinning again on him. You think about pushing me. He's Terrence Thorne, I'm Terrence Crawford. Yeah, I'm whooping feet. We ain't gotta get personal. This a friendly fade. You should keep it that way. I know some shit about niggas that make gonna wanna look like a saint. This ain't been about critics, not about gimmicks, not about who the greatest. It's always been about love and hate. Now let me say I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. I hate the way that you sneak this. If I catch flight, it's gonna be direct. We hate the bitches you fuck, cause they confuse themselves with real women. Then notice I said we. It's not just me, I'm what the culture feeling. How many more fairy tale stories about your life till we had enough? How many more black features till you finally feel that you're black enough? I like Drake with the melodies. I don't like Drake when he act tough. You gon' make a nigga bring back Puff. Let me see if Chubbs really crash something. Yeah, my first one like my last one. It's a classic, you don't have one. Let your core audience stomach that. Then tell them where you get your abs from. V12, it's a fast one. Bow, bow, bow. Last one. Headshot for the year. You better walk around like Daft Punk. Remember? Hey, Top Dog, who the fuck they think they playing with? Extortion my middle name as soon as you jump off of that plane, bitch. I'm allergic to the lame shit, only you like being famous. Yachty can't give you no swag neither, I don't give a fuck about who you hanging with. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk, I hate the way that you dress. Surprised you wanted that feature request, you know that we got some shit to address. I even hate when you say the word nigga, but that's just me, I guess. Some shit just cringeworthy, ain't even gotta be deep, I guess. Still love when you see success, everything with me is blessed. Keep making me dance, waving my hand, and there won't be no threat. I'm knowing they call you the boy, but where's the man? Cause I ain't seen him yet. Matter of fact, I ain't even bleed him yet. Can I bleed him? Bet. When I see you stand by Sexy Red, I believe you see two bad bitches. I believe you don't like women. It's real competition. You might pop ass with them. Let's speak on percentage. Show me your splits. I'll make sure I double back with you. You assigned to a nigga that signed to a nigga that said he was signed to that nigga. Try cease and desist on a like that record. Oh, what? You ain't like that record? Back to back. I like that record. I'ma get back to that for the record. Why would I call around trying to get dirt on niggas? Y'all thinking my life is rap? That's whole shit. I got a son to raise. But I can see you don't know nothing about that. Waking them up, no none about that. Then tell them to pray, no none about that. Then giving them tools to walk through life like day by day, no none about that. Teaching them morals, integrity, discipline. Listen, man, you don't know none about that. Speaking the truth and consider what God's considering. You don't know none about that. Ain't 20v1, it's 1v20. If I gotta smack niggas that right with you, yeah, bring them out too. I clean them out too. Tell Bean that he better stay right with you. Am I battling ghosts or AI? Nigga feeling like Joel Osteen. Funny he was in a film called AI. And my sixth sense telling me to off him. I'ma blick niggas all in the coffin. Yeah, Obi-Ho niggas
versus dick riders. Tell them run to America to imitate heritage. They can't imitate this violence. What I learned is niggas don't like the West Coast, and I'm fine with it. I'll push the line with it. Pick a nigga off one at a time with it. We can be on a 3-hour time difference. Don't speak on the family, Crody. It can get deep in the family, Crody. Talk about me and my family, Crody. Someone go bleed in your family, Crody. I be at New Hall King eating fried rice with a dip sauce and a blammy, Crody. Tell me your cheese and farm. We can do this right now on the camera, Crody. Hey, fuck y'all niggas, I don't trust y'all niggas. I wave one finger and thump y'all niggas like, field goal punt y'all niggas, they punk y'all niggas. Nobody never took my food. Whoever that's fucking with them, fuck you niggas and fuck the industry too. If you take it there, I'm taking it further. Psst, that's something you don't wanna do. Ooh.
We don't wanna hear you say nigga no more. We don't wanna hear you say nigga no more.
Stop.
Had to let it breathe. Anyways, it is I feel, I just can't imagine. Before, just like, I mean, I write for my job, right? You know, like we write copy or we write reports. I'm sure you write for your job as well. And just think of somebody in your industry, you know, somebody who you might have worked with previously or somebody who you compete with, and write down everything that you hate about that person, or everything that you hated about that person, everything that that person has done, anything that embarrassing that that person has done, and then write it down in bullet point form, and then listen to some music and write metaphors that kind of eloquently explain all of the things that you think are whack about that person. And then it's very interesting because, like, I find, I mean, obviously I know that who I'm broadcasting to, and the target for that song was for a singular person, but also, like, I acknowledge, I live in Vancouver. It's like, you know, it's very, very white. And also, it's not only very white, but it's very not black. And that was a, I don't know if you could get closer to, because there's something so specific about kind of the, it's something that I've talked about, maybe not on this show before, but definitely with my friends who I trust. And I, you know, I trust you guys. I trust y'all. But I think that it is so complicated, because understanding, like, we have flattened blackness so much, especially, I mean, yeah, we talked about Michael Brown, but especially since, like, I would say since 2020, since the racial reckoning, and people have this understanding that black people get treated like shit, like this, like, oh, wow, black people are just, and like, it absolutely still happens. I find that people might have forgotten. But, like, there's been an absolute flattening of blackness and what that looks like, you know, and just kind of just putting all black people into the same category, no matter where you're from, no matter you're from, you know, you're from Compton, or you're from Canada, or you're from D.C., or you're from, you know, you're from Zimbabwe, or, you know, you are from Nigeria, or, you know, Jamaica, or, you know, Trinidad, like, all the Brazil, all blackness has been very much flattened. And that's just not how black people see it, you know. And also, yeah, and then you got mixed in the conversation. You got like it's like, you know, I don't think it's simple. Like, I saw a tweet that talked about how J. Cole, Colin Kaepernick, and my friend added Bob Marley are black, but Drake is biracial. And like, just that distinction, you know, you don't understand. But if you listen to a little bit of Drake talk about his own identity, you would understand it. But it's just very interesting that is something that really, really bugged people. Because I can only imagine, like, I mean, watching the interview where Drake talked about how he associates as a black man, and as he talks about his blackest friends, that was what he said on camera. Like, I could only imagine what these people who know these people on a personal level, you know, who know each other on a personal level, who've been in, you know, studios and hanging out, eat dinner with these people, like, the type of shit he says would just probably drive me crazy. Anyways, I enjoyed that. I would love to know what your favorite line is. Listen, you want to call in 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. If you are numerically, if you have difficulties with numbers, and listen, you can call in. I would love to know your favorite line or why you think that it wasn't that good. Because, like, I for one. Like, I can't remember. I think we talked about this. I can't remember just how far away I feel from rap sometimes, just because as you get older, your musical taste change, and particularly in rap is young, but rap has historically been something for young people. And as my favorite rappers have aged, what they have done is they have aged the genre and have created a lane for older rappers to continue their careers. It's very interesting. I remember when Nelly was talking about how KRS-One was beefing with KRS-One and how he was too old to rap and he needed to be on rap, get a rap pension plan. He was only 37 at the time. And to think that KRS-One was like an old dude at 37 and Drake is now 37. I think Kendrick's like 35 or 36. And, Future's, in his 40s. And it's just totally the, Jay-Z's, who knows how old Jay-Z is. But, it's just all of these, it's just such a different game. But nothing brings me back to rap more than a diss track, because I find something so personal. Well, I like writing letters. I like writing cards. And I find that there's something so personal about writing and ways in which you can share kind of how you feel in different ways, in different words. And a diss track is like that, but for the public. And I find it so beautiful when it goes right. Anyways, as we move on from Drake, I would. it's so interesting. I mean, like, I find that, like, that is such a boxing match. When it comes to rap. But there's so many things that are going on here in Vancouver, so many things that are going on that I feel like we need to know, which is one of those is that last year, or maybe a few years ago, 2 years ago, it's so hard to keep up, but BC decriminalized drugs, and now they are rolling back what that decriminalization looks like. And it's coming with mixed reviews. And after our musical break, we will chat about what that means for the city, what does that mean for the parks, and what does that mean for the people when we get back.
Thank you.
Back it off the Bean Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, East Aaron. Listen, like I said, listen, you can call in at 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. So, like I said, last year, a few years ago, BC decriminalized drugs. And what that meant was that, you know, it allowed... What they wanted to do was they wanted to bring people out of the back alleys and into the public so that people, you know, to stop preventable deaths. So people wouldn't die, you know, in the alleyways of downtown Vancouver and the alleyways, you know, in this. And yeah, that was the goal of the program. And so what has happened, obviously, they've decided that that pilot has stopped. They've also, I mean, this is not within the same, when people are talking about the rollback of decriminalization, they're not also talking about how the Parks Board has said that people can no longer drink on Vancouver beaches. But I feel like from myself that they are all related, because it's just kind of the ways that we look at public consumption, the way that we look at you know, who's allowed to do what, where they're allowed to do and where they're allowed to do it. And so what we've seen, so one of the things is that people are upset that they are rolling it back because they don't now feel that the province has done enough in a concrete way to make people feel, to make people safer, to make it a safer place for drug users and for people. And so what they have done is they've kind of rolled it back in a way that, sorry, I keep saying that, but they keep rolled it back in a way that tries to create safe spaces for everybody, for all residents, drug users and non-drug users alike, and have promised, but we understand what these promises mean from the police, is that promise that they will not, harass or arrest people for simple possession, but really keep it focused on, people who are creating a non-safe space for the general public, and also people who are in danger of themselves. And so, for myself, it's one of those things where I definitely see both sides as I go to the office once a week downtown, in Chinatown, and, even biking to the office really early in the morning, you see some things and you're just like, damn, because, my first thought always is like, damn, I can't believe people are doing that in public at 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. But also, where are people going to go? What are some of the things that have set up? It's such a, like today, even riding the bus here, I saw somebody smoking crack on the bus. I had to ask him to stop. And you just like, I find that myself as an empathetic person and obvious and very, sympathetic to people's struggles that are going on, but also helpless in some of the same ways. Like, I think I might have talked about this. This is where some of the denialism comes in, which is that, we exist in this, I don't want to say this constant state of helplessness, but like, whereas people are struggling to find what they can do, what they should do, because one, the resources are so limited, and also it's just hard to help when everybody is struggling. Like, I think that that's one of the things that which we have seen. And one of the things that you acknowledge is that, like, you go on LinkedIn, you go on Facebook, you read about kind of anything in the news, and you'll just realize that, like, everybody is struggling except for some people are winning. And it makes it so incredibly frustrating, because you as a person who wants to help, me as a person who wants to help people, you just like, well, I can barely breathe myself. And so when you see, the province kind of giving up on the decriminalizing and what that means, it just kind of sounds like, okay, well, what's next? What are we going to do? One of the things that I think that it is interesting and keeps at least a little bit of positivity and some optimism is that, I'm from a place where they would never even try that, where they're still talking about the federal legalization of marijuana and how the Democrats are going to try to push that before the November election so that they can boost the numbers. Because what it looks like now is that there's no winners in America. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it feels. Or there's only winners. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, it feels like everybody's losing. And, and so in a country where, people are still debating and talking about marijuana, it's like, it's very, for me, at least there's a conversation around decriminalization and, and the impact that it has had or has not had, and just kind of what can or would or should or could be done. And so to kind of open the aperture of what a conversation could be around it, I find to be a step in the right direction, even if it's the tiniest step that we've seen in a long time. It is interesting. It reminds me of a Like, I'm pretty active in my neighborhood Facebook because I find that a little bit entertaining. Also, it's nice to kind of see, even if I never see these people in real life, you know, just kind of see, you know, see what's going on in the neighborhood, see how people are chatting. And it's very funny that a woman a few days ago posted that she's just a regular ass woman who's just a shopper like me, was at No Frills and helped the security guard stop somebody from stealing about, you know, a few hundred dollars worth of meat out the grocery store, and posted it in the Facebook chat like as if she was fucking Batman. And everybody just ripped into her about just kind of like, well, why would you put yourself in risk to stop people from stealing from the grocery store? And if people are stealing from the grocery store, then they probably, you know, they probably need the food, and the food is not going to, they're not going to steal the food and let it go to waste. And she was like, you know, defending herself and saying how people shouldn't be upset at her for stopping somebody from stealing food, because what if that person was going to go use it to sell and then buy drugs with that? And everybody was like, who gives a fuck? But, yeah, so it's nice to know, because I, you know, in Kitsilano, you can feel like sometimes that you might be a little by yourself when it comes to, being pro stealing from corporations. But it's nice to know that there's a lot of people in my neighborhood who I feel like are on the right side of that. Anyways, you know, it's like it's so hard to. Life's so hard. Like, why are you police? You know, why are you overextending yourself, policing people who need help? Anyways, you know, I'm gonna play. Listen, quick before I play into the next song, a quick note. So we talked about the brave little hunter, the orca that was trapped in an inlet here in BC earlier this year. And after 1 month, the orca has finally made its way out. And that's great news. Not only is it great news for the orca, but it is great news for us, because that's exactly what we were hoping was going to happen. And things don't always happen like that. But you know what? There's some good news. And so, like, listen, no, not all hope is lost, and if the little orca can make it out of this dark and scary place, maybe you can too. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some dark and scary places some people might get themselves into, but it's their own fault. And we can readily acknowledge that and laugh when we get back.
Yeah, yeah. A two-stepping with the old gang. I was with bro gang, that's when I saw your name. Singing mini rips and through the OA. She say, why you Chris A? I say, that be my code name. Her favorite artist, no name. My favorite artist, no name. Ride through the city, bumping telephone and smoke break. She smart than anybody that I know, and that's on folks' name. We don't do the public, we just keep it on the low, man. Her favorite artist, no name. My favorite artist. Slide through Hyde Park, always in the spoke cage. I said, be yourself, man, fuck it, we had no shame. I love when she herself, like, baby, just do your thing. Her favorite artist, no name, my favorite artist, no name. We ain't got shit to do. Mississippi, cocoa butter, and you brought me sunrise. Tears all in the thug's eye. I found about love at the fish fry. My favorite rapper comment, like what we got in common. And chicken scratch, tending pilots, lakeshore blast, and black swan in my rocket. I got the jazz like John Stockton, baby.
We ain't got shit to do.
Back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. Listen. So much going on. Listen, I love doing the show. I love being here with you for an hour. And listen, and if you love Off the Beam Path, you love listening Tuesday nights to CITR, tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in. Listen, and make a donation to the fund drive. Listen, even though the fund drive is only open in February, you can donate to UBC, CITR anytime that you'd like. This is a community-run station. I think like half of the people who use the radio station are part of the community, half are students, and you know, the other half, especially during the summertime, is young kids. And so what they do is they come in and they're able to provide an opportunity to not only, you know, create audio documentaries, but they're able to use their voice and kind of say the things that they feel like need to be said. I think that community radio public access is so important just because of everything that we are doing is getting throttled and everybody's making you pay for everything that there needs to be. You know, for me at least, this is a act of community service, and it is an act of service. And I, you know, and if you know me, you know that I believe very much in serving your community and being able to provide something, because everything is so expensive. I was reading a story today where Venice is being Venice is charging €5 to each visitor who comes into the city. I mean, there's definitely you know, even if you just live around Vancouver, like so many places that used to be free parking are now being, you know, have now been sold to private parking lots. And what that does is, you know, in some areas, you know, it costs as much as $8 an hour just to park. And think of how limiting that is for some people to pay. Like I live, fortunately, I mean, I pay the tax on my apartment just of where I live at, you know, which provides me the ability to walk or bike to a lot of different places. But if you do not live near, or you cannot afford to live in Kits, or you can't afford to live, you know, downtown, these places become inaccessible to people as the price goes up. So, you know, as parking goes up, as the price goes up, like anytime I buy something, you see the taxes and you're just like, this shit is insane. Things are so expensive. So I think that it's important and prudent that we continue to make spaces like CITR, you know, free and reduced so that kids can, you know, so that people can come here and use it and add to the zeitgeist. One of the things is that I am both humbled and just like, wow, that 9 people were charged in Toronto with a $14.5 million gold heist. So what happens is the largest gold theft in Canada history. This happened on April 17th at Toronto's Pearson International Airport. Basically, some Air Canada employees stole a air cargo container that had $2.5 million in gold and foreign currencies and over $6,000 in gold, 6,000 gold bars. Just amazing. Listen, just amazing. The gumption, the balls that you have to pull that something like that off is amazing. And it's something that I aspire to in my lifetime to pull off a heist of that magnitude. And so, with that being said, listen, the only heist I'm interested in now is in your eardrums, and I appreciate you for freely giving them to me, but in the future, I will take them if necessary. So, until next Tuesday, your host, Issa Arian, Off the Beaten Path, I'm out. Tune in 8 to 10, Crimes and Treasons, best rap music show in Canada. Then you got me. I'm at least the best talker, the best yapper, certified yapper from 10 to 11 on Tuesdays. Get some sleep. And also, think about what's going on in the world just a little bit. I'm out.